From the PCC Studios in Midland, it's The Catwalk, presented by Performance Chemical. Conversations connecting with industry executives, community leaders, nonprofit organizations, and social entrepreneurs.
Well, welcome again to The Catwalk, America's favorite podcast show. I'm Jay, that's Moose sitting over there, Shotgun. We're so grateful that you are with us again for another exciting week of broadcast excellence. We will want to start off each week with the Moose Rant. So what do you got for us this week?
Oh, Jay, you know, thank you so much for letting me kind of rant. You know, I try to be very diplomatic at times and try to think through my actions and the words that come out of this mouth of mine.
Be careful.
But you know, I'm going to tell you something. What really gets into my crawl, man, fake news.
Fake news.
Fake news gets
in your crawl.
It gets in my crawl, man.
Oh, you're going to have to explain about that.
So let's say that you have young adults at home and they're watching TikTok. That's a good one.
Yeah.
And you look at the lifestyle of people, and I don't want to throw anybody under the bus on this thing, but you've got some rich and famous people out there that live this lifestyle of luxury, right? And mm-hmm. they think, oh, everybody can get that. Well, hard work will pay off. You'll Maybe. Have opportunities to do those things, but if you're not from money, it's going to be hard for people to be able to do those things.
Yeah, that's true.
It's hard earned. It's elbow grease. It's back pains. It's struggles. It's triumphant. It's all those things in the world that go with the struggles of earning money and making a living.
Yeah.
But when you throw things out there on social medias and platforms and fake news and you make it up and it doesn't look good, like pictures are fictitious, people are doing things that are like, this is unheard of. And you say, oh, yeah, but I saw that on TikTok or I saw that on social media. Folks, that's not real.
It's not real. It's fake reality.
It gets in my crawl, Jay.
It does get in your crawl.
And it makes people think, oh my gosh, that you don't have to work to do things. Let me tell you, we need to go back to hard work. We need to think about leadership skills. We need to think about people that are absolutely working hard and making sure that our industry is and our world itself is not a fake. It's a fake reality.
Yeah.
It's true. We need to see the grind and the hard work and the commitments, not just the glory ends of those things.
You think a lot of people, when they see things on social media and stuff, they get confused with jealousy or envy, and they think, oh, my life has got to look like X person.
Absolutely.
And, man, it's brutal.
Do you know how much
pressure, on your soul?
Do you know how much pressure goes into that for our youth,
for teenagers, or
even adults?
Yeah,
exactly. That is my rant, Jay. And I tell you right now, folks, it's a real thing. We have. If you just look, turn the TV on and watch the news, watch things that are going on. Please do yourself a huge, huge favor. Investigate what you're inspecting. Investigate what you're watching, because you may be surprised that half the stuff we're watching is absolutely fake news.
That's absolutely correct. Well, it's time for top five. You ready for this?
I'm always ready for your top five, Jay.
Top five is sponsored by Tortuga Real Estate, servicing buyers and sellers in the Permian Basin. Tortuga Real Estate is growing as a preferred consultant for the region. They have unique housing needs. We are especially proud to serve first-time home buyers and love walking them through the buying process. So give Tim and his team at Tortuga Real Estate a call today. Well, here is my top five. You ready?
I'm ready, Jay.
This is my top five favorite smells.
Oh.
My top
I hope they're good smells. I hope they're good smells.
Favorite smells. Number five, grass after it's mowed. I love to smell my yard after I go mow it. And I have allergies, so I can tell if it's good smell because my allergies will go nuts.
Do you take
But I love that pills? Smell. Oh, yeah. I take them like Skittles. So
no animals in your backyard, Jay?
None. Well, no, there is a few. I've got two.
So you're talking about just the smell of fresh cut grass, not so anything along
else
with that.
Not anything else in the grass.
Okay.
Yeah, just the smell.
That's number five, though.
Number five. Number four is the holiday candle smell.
Oh,
Thanksgiving,
yeah.
Christmas, Halloween, any of those smells, fir trees, apple cobbler.
Oh, man.
All the Christmas ornament smells. I mean, I just love Christmas smells.
Man, you already get me into the spirit, Jay, and that brings back to my youth. I like those smells.
You like those?
I do.
Yeah. Number three, bacon.
I'm out, though. I'm out on bacon.
Yeah, I know you're out on bacon.
You've seen me in life, man. I can eat
tell
bacon.
Us
I can
briefly eat bacon. The story of bacon.
Let me tell you. I think I'm absolutely allergic to bacon only when it's frying. When I can eat bacon, and yeah. I don't mind eating bacon. I don't have an allergy to bacon, but
no.
The aroma of cooking bacon in the home is like my. Look, I start sneezing.
You do. And I've seen
My eyes water, and I can't stop crying.
I've seen this.
Not that I'm saddened that that little pig is is being cooked for my pleasure to eat, but it kills my allergies.
We were in London on a mission trip.
I remember.
And the guy's up there preaching, and he was using bacon in the middle of his sermon, and he's cooking it, and I look back over there, and I'm like, either you're afraid of bacon, or the Holy Spirit has gotten all over you because you were weeping.
It could
and
be.
And your eyes were just like blood red, yeah. And I'm like, what is going on with this guy?
Might have been a little bit of both, but
might have been.
I have to give it out. The little piggy went wee, 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 and I was going, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Number two, fresh cookies coming out of the oven.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing better.
Favorite cookie. Favorite cookie.
What is it? Chocolate chip. All day.
Oh, chocolate chip's okay.
All day. Number one, my number one favorite smell is burning wood at a campfire.
Ooh.
I love that smell. It goes back to the holiday candle smell.
Yeah.
But if I could be out in the forest somewhere or at our family ranch and I could just have a small campfire, I love it. Hot dog, s'mores, that smells just, that's awesome.
Yeah, that's good.
What's your favorite smell?
Man, you know, I like pleasant smells. I definitely like candle smells. Cinnamon, yeah. Like anything with cinnamon or like snickerdoodle, sugar cookies. Oh, yeah. That smell. Anything you can do with that kind of sweet smell. I like the holiday smells. I don't really know. As long as you don't smell me, I guess we're in good shape. Enough deodorant cover up a bad smell.
Hey, did you know camels have three eyelids to protect themselves from the blowing desert wind?
I knew that.
Did you know that?
Yeah, it matches with three stomachs.
I don't know about that part, but
they have.
Yeah, they have a third clear eyelid that helps in protecting their eyes from blowing sand. That would be amazing out here.
Yeah. Because
we get a lot of sand.
Well, we do have a lot of sand, and I'm with you, man. Sometimes sunglasses just is not enough for the West Texas winds and the dust that we blow in here. But that would be amazing to have a third eyelid.
It would be.
Not one that you would visibly see. You know, it need to be, very clear.
It just shows up whenever the wind blows in.
Yeah.
And the sand.
Yeah.
Well, guess who has showed up in to the studio right now? Let's welcome our special guest. We got a really good special guest with us today. Would you guys please welcome to the catwalk?
I'm super excited for this.
This is Carl Borowski. What's up, Carl?
Hey, Carl.
Did I say the name right?
You did. Surprisingly, you did say it right.
A lot of people get that name mixed up a little bit. So. Yeah. What's up, Carl?
Hey, I'm doing good. How are you doing? I'm sitting here and I was thinking about those smells.
Talk to me.
And my favorite smell is leather.
What? That's awesome.
I even got leather candles and I just love that smell.
Yeah.
Leather.
Is that weird?
Now, is that from like a childhood thing or is it just...
I just like you know, going in... somebody's brand new car smelling that leather, and then they came out with leather candles, and I mean, I buy them up when I see them.
Yeah.
So I just love that smell. Yeah.
That's awesome.
I agree with that. Leather is a really good smell, yeah. And it smells, it's fresh and it's nice, but
yeah.
not the leather you smell when you're branding cattle. That's a whole different smell.
That's a different one. But you bring up a really good point. Just, you know, I forgot about the new car smell. And that leather, that is, I forgot about that. Maybe honorable mention for me. Hey, Carl, tell us a little bit. Our listeners, viewers may not know your history. And tell us who you are and what are you doing in Midland?
So, my name is Carl Borowski. You said it right. A lot of people try to throw a W in there, but it's Borowski. I'm the executive director of Rope Youth, work with at-risk kids. And then also caught myself in a part-time gig called Backyard Midland, working with the homeless on the weekends. So how I got to Midland, I was, like I said, I'm from Pittsburgh. I had a job in Pittsburgh.
Texas?
No, I know where Pittsburgh, Texas is. It's Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
I have to, you know, there's some people that, you know, going to think that's Texas. So,
yeah.
So Steeler fan?
I'm definitely a Steeler fan.
Okay.
And so found myself here working for the Boy Scouts in Midland, Texas. Did that for a little bit and had the desire to start my own nonprofit. And here I am, you know, 10 years later, and things have been working out great for me.
That's awesome.
That is amazing.
You guys have been cooking this week.
Yeah, yeah.
So or this summer. Tell us a little bit about the Summer Feed and Read program.
So, you know, so part of our Rope Youth, one of the things we focus on is fatherlessness and food insecurity. So the food insecurity part of it is, you know, there's kids that, you know, don't get a whole lot to eat in the summer. There's kids that don't get a lot to eat, period. But, you know, what we try to do is we try to just go out there and we're serving kids. And ours is in the evening, so it's not duplicating anything. And there's a lot of normalcy about a food truck, you know, so we have food trucks. And, you know, kids and their family, we go to – we're in, you know, a park here. Kids come up and get their food and they can go sit down on the lawn or whatever, eat their food. There's a lot of normalcy to that instead of having to go to, like, you know, like a soup kitchen or something like that. It's just a – you know, it's just an American thing, and it's pretty normal to kids. So just having great success reaching kids and feeding kids. We also have a bookmobile that we take out there, and we're summer feed and read.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's cool. Are you now? I thought I saw somewhere where you're lacking some books or needing some.
Yes. So we always put it out there because, you know, what are you going to do? A kid. We've given out so many books, and a kid wants to come and get excited about reading and taking books, and this is what we want. So we've just been giving out, you know, kids snatching 3 or 4 books. You know, it's like, you know, we want to help them. And so, yeah, we are always asking people if you have those kind of books just to bring them to us or drop them off or pick them up, because we want to put books in kids' hands and we don't want to limit it to be like, hey, here's this one book. If you want to take a handful of books and you're going to read these books, hey, we're happy to provide them.
Absolutely. So.
Yeah. Tell me about ROPE. What does that stand for? So, why the name?
Yeah. So ROPE stands for Redirection Outreach Program Efforts for Youth. So it's a lot. So that's why we shorten it to ROPE Youth, you know? Yeah. So, that's just a big mouthful, but. You know, it's basically just an acronym for, you know, like what we're trying to do. And if you can see the logos and stuff on my on my shirt, my hat, it's just like, this is a stop knot. And, you know, that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to stop and we're trying to redirect, you know, behavior. And, you know, everything means something. And, you know, there's outreach right here in Midland. You know, you walk out your door, this is your mission field. So.
That's awesome.
That's hence where the name came from.
No, that's absolutely amazing. And you know, I often wondered, you know, I know there's a lot of things that are going on in our community as far as outreach. How would our listeners get involved? How could they get involved with you, Carl?
Yeah. So I find it like people, you know, they want to do something, they just don't really know how to get started. Right. And that's whether you're working with youth or you're working with homeless. People want to do something, but they really don't know what to do. You know, I'm a guy that knows, you know, hey, there's needs in the community. You know, we have a program in the schools called Young Gentlemen's League and Young Ladies League, which is amazing. And it's basically like coming to the school for a half an hour a week, you know. Mm-hmm. And so there's things for everybody to do. You know, we're have these organizations in the summer that are covering and coming serving churches, organizations that are coming. So there's just a lot to do. People need to find their niche or what they're interested in. And then also don't feel like, you know, if you find something that you're interested in, make some phone calls and, you know, get going. Just like Nike says, just do it. You know
just
what I mean?
Do it.
Just do it. Yeah.
Well, your feed and read program, Performance Chemical, is partnering with you this summer, actually this week.
Yeah, that's right.
Out there. And it's been amazing. I've known you for a couple of years.
Yeah.
We've done some school feeds together where we've done the backpack program. I think you've taught me some things. I think we've helped you do some things and stuff. The church that I was at before Performance, Crestview, helped sponsor the shower. Are you guys still using the shower trailer? And
so,
tell us about the homeless. And
so, switching over, because a lot of people that know me, they don't even really realize that I have a different thing going on. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like I said, I got a heart for the homeless and go out, have a lot of volunteers. And so, we have a homeless, it's not a homeless shower. Mm-hmm. It is a shower because anybody can take a shower in there.
Yeah.
But, you know, we started off just our friends, hey, why don't you guys go sit in McDonald's or Starbucks or something? And they're just like, hey, we get kicked out because we smell, you know what I mean? And, you know, I asked a couple guys, it's like, hey, when's the last time y'all had a shower? And one guy's like 3 months. The other guy didn't even know. Wow. And so hence we wanted to give people their dignity of just having a shower, cleaning up, man. And, man, I've seen people walk up in there looking raggedy as can be and walking out looking like a CEO of a company. You know what I mean?
Wow.
A good shower and some fresh clothes could work miracles because, you know, like, man, we all have been at a point where you've been sitting somebody where and you walked in, you're like, hey, there's a homeless guy. Hmm. You know what I mean? So we're trying to take that, try to be there for them and provide that service for them.
Hmm. That's amazing.
If you don't mind, I want to share a little story about that. Yeah. So I can actually speak from experience, not being from the homeless standpoint, because I would not wish that upon anybody. And I know that's a tough struggle. But back in 2020, I had a very, very bad motorcycle wreck and left me for dead, pretty much. Mm-hmm. I've come through that, and it's taken me a long time to recover from this. But I there was a time in my life that it had gone on like 8 to 9 weeks, and I was not able to shower. And let me tell you, man, my heart that night, I talked to my wife and it was like the best thing in the world to hear her say that, hey, it's time. You finally get to that mark that I'm able to move and be mobile, that I can go in there and take a shower. I can only imagine, Carl. I got in the shower. I felt the steam on my face, and it's like for the first time in my life, I was not complaining about getting in that shower and getting clean. And I did. I told my wife, and I said, you know, I said, right now, I want you to go open the door to my home, and I want you to make an announcement. And anybody that wants to come into my home and take a shower, please come in and get a shower, because that was like the best. Yeah. So I wanted to share that, not because of that, but it's that feeling. I can only imagine what the people go through with that.
Yeah.
Just something simple of that, just to clean up and feel loved and that respected, to just to have some great hygiene. So I'd love that. I love that.
So I don't know if you guys are old enough to remember the old Calgon commercial.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Calgon, take me away.
Exactly.
So we do get guys in there, you know, so like we get people in there and, man, they want to camp out in there, man. They get that shower, just like you said. You haven't had a shower in a while. They're like, they be in there. Just
game changer.
It's a game changer. So
what do you think, speaking of homeless, I know that one that you have ministered to and visited, as I see you post all the time, recently passed away.
Yeah.
Tell us about that and maybe what's misunderstood about the homeless in our community? What do people not get?
So let me just tell you the one good thing about, like, the good news of this community, Midland, Texas, is we don't have a homeless problem. The only problem there is if you're homeless. Like if you've been to Austin, Houston, or somewhere, mm-hmm. they got a homeless problem. I'm telling you, we have chronically homeless in Midland, 30 or less people.
Wow, that's
awesome. So it's not like people think like, oh, we got all these people. Or they see those people panhandling mm-hmm. that are organized panhandlers. You know, there's groups that are organized panhandlers. And, you know, the other day I was like, I saw three ladies out that basically had the same sign around Sam's Club. They were just working different angles.
Mm-hmm.
So people get that. They see panhandlers mm-hmm. and they think that they're homeless. They're not homeless. I mean, they made a good living that that day made a good wage,
right?
They're not homeless. A real homeless person is not going to camp out and panhandle. Mm. They're going to get enough money for what they need, and then they're going to be out of there. They're not going to sit there, you know, sit there all day.
All day.
Yeah. It's like their job. So people, you know, there's like my personal thing is like I think we could almost eradicate homelessness. Wouldn't it be great to live in a city to say, you know, we have 10 homeless people or mm-hmm. less at any given time? And, you know, that's what I strive for. I'm like, it's not – we don't have a homeless problem, and we can make the problem of the folks that are homeless a lot easier just by reaching out and helping. One thing I do say, I was like, there's more churches in Midland, Texas than there are homeless people. You know,
wow.
You know, and then I always
say
this
too. That's a good way
to
put it.
You know, you don't have, you know, you don't have to help everyone, but everyone can help someone.
Right.
You know what I mean? Man, we could really make a difference if we step up and did a lot more for the homeless people that we do have.
That's great.
So, and you wanted me to say something about country. Sheldon McMillan was a veteran, was an Army veteran, had a tough time. He was from St. Mary's, Georgia.
Wow.
And he found himself his way here to Midland around Christmas time. I say me, but I have a lot of good group of volunteers. So we saw that Country had, you know, some bleeding around his neck.
Hmm.
And then, hey, Country, why are you bleeding around your neck? Lifted up his shirt and he got tumors there that looked like big mushrooms all over him. Wow. Got him some treatment, and then we had him in a hotel, and those tumors were getting bigger, and so you know, we were just trying to make him comfortable, and you know, like, didn't want the guy, like, we've seen other people die on the streets, you know, not that it's so fabulous or glamorous about being in a hotel room,
mm-hmm.
but at least he wasn't out there. And then we were checking on him, and we would help him out. And some of my other volunteers, you know, like, man, I'm pretty busy with what I do with Rope Youth and working with kids, but I got some other volunteers that are retired, and they hauling people back and forth to appointments. So Country, he was out there on Midkiff and Wall. And he was panhandling out there, you know, just get what he needed.
Hmm.
And while he was there, a truck turned right. The trailer knocked the signs over. So it wasn't just like, you know, he got run over. I mean, the guy that was driving the truck, I mean, he killed him. You know what I mean? He knocked over the signs and it hit him. He wasn't in the road. He was in the Meridian. Like, we see people, a lot of, you know, that's a pretty popular spot there.
Yeah.
And he was killed there.
Wow.
And, you know, and I've been thinking about it in my own head. It was like, man, you look at somebody one week and you say, man, those tumors are getting bigger. How much longer does this guy have? You know, so, you know, I'm trying to process this of like, okay, you know, he's in a better place now. He definitely was a Christian, and he's in a better place now, but it's still sad because, you know, we'll miss him, and he won't be there any longer. But and in a way too, it draws some attention to the problem that we have. And like I said, it's not a problem unless you're homeless,
mm-hmm.
but there are guys out there that, you know, there's people, I call it death watched. I have people right now that I'm just like, okay, are they going to make it through this brutal summer? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're just standing out there, man. I've seen guys like the wind burned skin all burn up. And so, I really think if people get more informed, like I get calls like, hey, I saw this guy. He's sleeping underneath this bridge and he's here. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, what do you want me to do? You could go talk to him.
Yeah.
And you could see what he needs, you know. So that's where we are. You know, I just want to bring awareness to the great opportunity that we have in Midland, Texas, that, you know, there's not hundreds or thousands of homeless people. Mm-hmm. Like, you could really make an impact in somebody's life by just reaching out to them.
Yeah. I was just fixing to ask that question. You know, it's hard, I think, and there's a misconception as well, too, that they are humans, right?
Yes.
And so I bet you could probably tell stories after stories about just how you interact with them to go talk to them, because they are human and they may be down on their luck. I remember years ago, there was a guy that traveled through. He traveled all over the place, and he lived in a tent on the side of the road. And he was absolutely he was homeless by choice. And he was absolutely just like going state to state, like trying to praise the awareness of that. Mm. And I like dares, and it wasn't really a dare, but my compassion and my heart felt, I don't know what it was, I guess. It was definitely heartfelt. And I was like, you know what? I want to go talk to this guy and see exactly what he is. What's his deal? And man, he had money. Like, he had money, and he didn't need money. He was just there trying to experience it so he can absolutely understand, kind of like what you're doing, Carl, to figure out what did he do to raise the awareness. And when we went, he goes, you know, you're the first person in a month that's talked to me.
Yeah.
And that was crazy to myself. And I was like, I never would think that you could, like, go a month without talking to anybody. I can't hardly go 5 minutes without talking to somebody.
Yeah.
But to experience that by choice, that was simply amazing.
You talk about, we don't have a homeless problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think we have an awareness problem? Because I know you work with children in some of the schools, and you talk about food insecurity. You talk about, you know, those things. They don't have school uniforms. They need those things. They need school supplies. Whatever the case may be. Do you think our problem is we just aren't aware of that, or we don't see it?
So, exactly.
We're choosing not to see, maybe?
So, yeah. You know, a lot of homeless people are invisible. And because we're not like Austin, like, you can go a long time without seeing a homeless person. You know, they're community people. They hang around each other. And I just don't think it's not really pushed in our face. Now, the panhandlers on the corners, like I said, they're organized. But I just feel like, you know, so we go out on the weekends, you know, that's what we started Backyard Midland for, was just to, you know, breach a gap on the weekend. And then some of the thing is, like, you know, we'll go give them, you know, food. We pass out sleeping bags, tents, tarps, coats in the winter.
Mm-hmm.
But this summer, you know, like, the biggest thing is water. But the one thing is, when you go up upon a homeless, man, they're ready to talk. You know, like, like last week, you know, from my postings, I had 10 people go with me last weekend. I had to take my 12-passenger van. And I'm like, man, everybody's talking extra today. But a lot of people are just starving for human interaction.
Conversation.
And conversation.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you hear some of these, stories, you could process in your mind, like, dang, if this happened to you, I'm not far from being homeless.
Yeah.
You know what I
mean? True.
You know, like, hey, this, you lost this something, or you lost your job, or somebody in your family died that you was counting on. And, you know, it doesn't take much to get there. It doesn't take much to get there. Like, you could play it out in your head, like, man, I could easily be here. And I'm the kind of guy, you know, my whole perception has changed in my life. You know, so obviously, you know, like, with Rope Youth, I'm out there fundraising and, you know, trying, because it takes money to, you know, bring programs and buy little suits for kids, and it takes money. And I'm the kind of guy, you know, like, man, I could be, you know, I'll be out, somebody invites me to dinner, you know, I've been where I've been, you know, Saturday night eating dinner at the country club with, you know, donors. And then Saturday and Sunday, you know, sitting behind a dumpster eating chicken with homeless people. You know what I mean? So
it's a wide
array of activity. But I'm more excited about it because, like I said, as everybody is aware, you know, he'll hear this to be more aware. go and approach a homeless person. See how you can help them. Like I said, it's not like you're helping five or six or whatever. You can kind of help that one person, and it can really kind of change your life. And some of the stuff is so simple. You know, like they're stuck here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hey, you know, like, you know, I'm from Dallas or I'm from here. They can't get back there. Or they need help. They don't have their ID or something. Mm-hmm. So a lot of these things are kind of easy fixes. And then, but there are guys out there, like I've been doing this 7 years, and there are guys that I've been seeing the same 7 years.
Yeah.
And, you know, and you just love on them where they are. You hear their story. Hey, yeah, I'm about to get a job. Okay, yeah, you're about to get a job. I've been hearing that story.
7 years.
Hey, man, here's your dinner.
Yeah.
Here's you some water. You need anything? Okay, you know, so you just kind of love on them where they are. They're human, you know, just feel like that's what it's called to be. And I have a personal experience from being a kid, being homeless.
Yeah.
You know, so, and it just kind of, you know, just kind of feel like that's what I'm called to do, even though I'm real frustrated at times. You know, like like God has you doing things. God puts you in a position to do stuff, right? Like I want to watch football and stuff on Sundays, but I'm going out during my time and delivering food. Homeless people get my phone number. Like, hey, I heard you do this, or I need a sleeping bag. You know, how am I going to sit there? Somebody needs something, and I'm just sitting there, you know, just air conditioned, you know, eating my chips or whatever, and somebody's there in need. And also my mind goes directly to, hey, it's raining outside. I go to Bible studies, man, they're praying for rain like crazy. You know, it rains, I'm thinking, oh, man, these folks are getting wet.
They're getting wet,
You know what I mean? That's where my mind goes to. But like I said, you know, like I feel like God, you know, there's a lot of people out there that can do something. But in this part of my life, this is what God's calling me to do, even though I don't want to do it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm like, because everybody, you know, some people will give me like, oh, man, you know, you do good things. You're a good guy doing all this. But, man, I struggle with it because, like, I really, you know, at times don't want to do it, you know. But, you know.
Man. Well, you said something about being frustrated.
Yeah.
Frustrated.
You know, he gets frustrated sometimes. And
yeah.
Things get under your crawl, too. What? How do I ask this? How do I ask this question? What?
I don't know what you're thinking, Jay.
What keeps you up at night?
Yeah, that's a very good question.
That's what I was trying to, you know, Moose gives us what gets under his crawl a little bit, and I can relate to what gets under your crawl, but you just mentioned you get frustrated. So just briefly tell us, what would keep you up? Is it the people of Midland? Is it the needs in Midland? What is it?
Yeah, so I would change that question a little bit. So... not a whole lot's going to – like, I go, and when it's time to go to sleep, man, I'm going to sleep. But I would change that question to and ask anybody else is, like, what breaks your heart?
Ooh,
you know what I mean?
Okay. Like, that's a good question.
Yeah. Like, what breaks your heart? And to me, what breaks my heart – because, like I said, you know, like you know, the devil wants you to worry, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But what breaks my heart you know, seeing kids, knowing that, like, that were similar to my lifestyle. You know what I mean? I have an empathy story that, you know, like, you know, I was homeless with my mom, and I saw my mom give my sister away to a man. Just like gave her away, you know, and then later on, you know, my mom abandoned me, and police picked me up, and I'm living a life in foster care, you know, and then this man and this lady come get me out of foster care. They didn't have no kids, so it was different. So they had broke me down to where, you know, I talked to them, I, you know, eventually grew to love them. And then here it is. I lived with them like a year before I realized that I wasn't in a foster home. It was my aunt and my uncle that had found me out of foster care.
Wow.
And I'm living with them. But when they said, hey, I'm Aunt so-and-so, I didn't know what that meant. I didn't know what any of that meant. All I know was mom meant. And I know, like, when my mom abandoned me that day, all I was wanting to do in those foster homes was see her come back and get me, and which I thought it was, and which it was, you know, time I physically saw her again was like 8 years later.
Wow.
But saying that, what breaks my heart is like, okay, I can get some people to be like, man, that's a tough story, but man, these kids got horror stories. You know, like if I ever wrote a book, it's going to be about what these kids go through. And then, you know, how their life is, because the truth is, you know, all I can do is encourage these kids that their life doesn't have to be like their parents' life. You know what I mean?
Great point.
It doesn't have to be like their parents' life, and they can do better. And then, like, through my programs, you know, I start encouraging kids. Encouragement is a big thing, because I never had anybody – encourage me, like saying, like, hey, you're going to go to college, you're going to do this. I never had any of that encouragement until like later on in my life, you know. So I'm trying to encourage kids, like, you know, whatever your parents done, whatever life you are, you're living with grandma, whatever, man, this is just a temporary thing, and I'm going to prepare you to change it to want more for yourself.
That's super amazing.
Yeah, and wow. I don't want to speak for you, Moose, but I've been encouraged and challenged and changed by just this conversation. And I've known Carl for a while, so just always being around you does something to my spirit and my soul. Can you stay for just another minute or two? Yeah. We got to just play a couple fun game here.
Oh. And now Every Neighbor presents Why Today Doesn't Suck.
Which one would you rather? Would you rather watch nothing but Hallmark Christmas movies for the rest of your life, or listen to nothing but Creed songs for the rest of your life?
Oh, man.
Hallmark Christmas movies or Creed? You can only choose one.
So I am definitely – I would pick the Hallmark Christmas movies because I'm already trained. My wife, October comes – and she's watching Hallmark Christmas movies. And, you know, if I want to spend that time with her, that's what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Now, I get real confused because I'm thinking they have like a limited, like, is it like the same 10 actors in like every movie?
Right.
Everyone.
So I definitely, like you're saying, not like if I ever wanted to watch TV and turned it on.
That's all you can watch.
Okay, I would pick the Hallmark Christmas movie.
Creed.
Over Creed.
Yeah, great answer.
I would too, Carl. I'm very well trained too. So it may be reruns and there's some things that come on. But you know what? It's an uplifting. Hallmark is very uplifting. It's spiritual. It's very good. So
and Creed is not, right?
Creed is not.
All right, another question. Would you never eat watermelon ever again? Or be forced to eat watermelon with every meal?
Oh, my goodness. Okay. So
have I hit a nerve? This is,
no. You know the kind of, kind of like the stereotype of black people like watermelon and all that. And, man, I love to eat. I could eat it every day.
Yes.
And I get so angry.
What?
Like, I get so angry when I go to, like, I'm going to the store, and I don't know the best. All you pick it out like this, and if I go home and that watermelon's not amazing, I am so ready.
Really?
I grew up, but when I have my sons, like we'd get a watermelon, man, we just cut it in half, cut it in thirds.
Yeah.
And my dream, one of my dreams, is to have me my own watermelon patch.
Really?
Yeah. That's awesome. I'm not talking about selling them. You know what I mean?
Just for yourself.
I'm talking about for myself. I love.
That's brilliant.
I love watermelon. Awesome. And if you force me to, you know, or I would choose to eat it every day.
That's awesome.
I do. I like watermelon as well. Man, ice cold on a hot day, or any ice cold on a cold day, it's all good.
Yeah.
I've tried it frozen. It's not so great frozen. But ice cold is the way to eat it.
That's awesome.
You know what? I actually like it with a little bit of pickle salt too. It's really
okay. Good. Now you've ruined it for me.
Yeah.
No. Try it, Carl.
Should we try it?
Yeah.
Oh, you don't have any with you right now we could try?
No, I don't, but you would love it.
I'll give it a shout. Hey, today is the 22nd day of June, or as some call it, June 22nd. It's the 173rd day of the year. We are getting close every week to being done with this year, which I'm so grateful for. There's two big birthdays today. Let's talk about them. Number one, today having a birthday is Meryl Streep.
Okay.
Have you heard of her?
I don't know her, but I've seen her in movies.
Yeah.
Up and coming? No, she's been around a while.
What movie has she been in? Nate, can you name one?
I can't even name one. No, actually, I can.
The Devil Wears Prada.
Yeah.
Great movie.
Kramer versus Kramer. She was in Kramer versus Kramer.
Was she called?
I don't know.
You like Meryl Streep?
I could picture in my head and know exactly who she is, but yeah, I wouldn't know no movie trivia.
Sophie's Choice. That's a great movie that she's been in. Also having a birthday today is the great Cindy Lauper.
Okay, now we're talking.
Wait. Now we're talking.
Hang on.
Okay. There's a story there.
I'm just saying, like,
you know her.
So I know her. And then, like,
what's her big song?
Time After Time.
Girls.
Oh, yeah. So I remember.
Come on.
So I remember that.
Girls. Okay, I'm done.
I remember the girls just want to have fun thing. And I remember Cyndi Lauper, that mega hit Time After Time. And I also remember her from wrestling when she used to hang out. She used to hang out with Captain Lou Albano.
Wow.
I don't know if any of you guys.
That's a throwback.
I don't remember that.
Yeah. So he was.
Wow.
He was even in her video, Girls Just Want to Have Fun. Captain Lou, you know.
I did not know that.
Man.
She's having a birthday today.
Happy birthday.
Great trivia. Yeah.
And she's on a commercial for like eczema or something that you see.
That's
her,
true.
Like,
yeah.
You see her a couple times a week. And
yeah. She's making
still,
a still comeback.
She looks amazing.
They ought to have her own Peacock.
Yeah.
With her wild hair design.
That's
man.
Brilliant
color. So she could definitely represent on people.
Oh, there you go. There's another song, True Colors.
True Colors. Yeah.
Oh, don't get me singing.
Oh, man.
Go ahead. All right, we're going to be quiet now. Okay. Carl, you're going to sing.
Because I don't, if I sang this song, True Colors, that's all I know.
That's all I know.
I don't know the other. I don't know the other words, but I can, I
got the tune in my head now, and I'll be singing it the rest of the night.
Have you ever been in a situation like you don't know the song, but if it's playing, you know the song?
Yeah.
That's how I am with things like that.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. Yeah. That's a good point. Well, also today, this is an amazing stat right here. On this day, June 22nd in 1940.
I was around then.
The very first Dairy Queen opened in Joliet, Illinois. You big Dairy Queen fan?
Growing up, I spent many a days in Dairy Queen.
Can't be from Texas and not like the Dairy Queen.
Yeah, they always say it's a Texas stop sign. But do you know, I think as a 5-year-old, if I can remember correctly, and this has been many years ago, Lord help us all, but I believe I became a professional gambler due to Dairy Queen.
Wait, what?
Yeah. Due to Dairy Queen, I would beg my mother and father to take me to Dairy Queen every single day, and I would just rob her coin purse, and I would take that quarter, and I would try to make it in that fish bowl with a little deal for get me a dilly bar or a snow, ice cream cone.
Yes.
And I spent like, I don't know how many hundreds of dollars I spent, and I only got like two ice cream cones. So, look, I think they made me a gambler because I'm gambling for that ice cream, and I'm paying too much for that ice cream.
That is awesome.
I'll never forget, but yeah.
Little Dairy Queen trivia for you. How many locations are in the United States?
Whoa.
Man.
You'll take a guess?
In the United States or just in Texas
just
only?
Just in the United States. More than 4,000 or less than 4,000?
More.
I would say more, too.
4,360.
All right.
Wow.
First item ever on the menu at a Dairy Queen.
Hamburger.
Malt and shake. Did I jump the gun there?
I would not have gotten it.
Malt and shake.
I was thinking the belt buster, but I didn't know. Hunger buster, yeah.
What year was the Blizzard introduced? They're the ones that started that whole thing.
1982.
I'm going to say earlier years, and I don't know, but I'm going to say 75.
85.
Oh,
that's when I graduated high school.
Yeah, I knew when they had the dilly bars.
Yeah,
yeah.
The Blizzard wasn't an option.
So that opened for the very first one in 1940, and that kind of segues into our national day today.
Yeah,
today is National Onion Ring Day.
Oh, I thought you were going to say it's National Dairy Queen Day. I was like,
it should be.
I don't want to be a Dairy Queen, but I want to be a something else. But anyway,
well, it is National Onion Ring Day, and. Are you a big onion ring fan? I mean,
sometimes.
Yeah. Who makes the best onion rings in town?
What is that?
Do we want to go there?
No. What is?
Can't be the Bloomin' Onion.
Oh man, I can't remember the
because that's
the restaurant out there by Sam's Club.
So Clear Springs.
Clear Springs.
Yes.
Yeah, they have a good onion. One. They have a good onion.
They have a mountain.
They have a good
a mountain of onion rings.
They do. It's that little thin stringed ones, isn't it? There or they have the real thick ones.
They're more thin, but they're really like good too. Yeah,
they're always really hot.
You go to Outback and you get the Bloomin' Onion, and
yeah, but that's not an onion ring. Bro.
It's not onion.
That's
ring.
A petal. That's an onion petal or something like that.
So I brought some onion rings.
Awesome. Okay, share them. Hey, I was gonna give you a little,
and they're actually from Dairy Queen.
Oh, that's
so. Why don't you do you want to open that?
Spectacular,
up? How about that?
So I want to try this onion ring, man.
Our friends at Dairy Queen downtown
provided
those for us, and so we're grateful for that. Let me just tell you a little bit about National Onion Ring Day.
Woo! Look at them onion rings.
It's unclear when onion rings were first developed.
Get you one there, Carl.
But an onion ring.
I don't want to be the first, but I'm going to do it.
Yeah, onion ring-like recipe appeared in a cookbook in 1802.
Okay.
So they were making these back in 1800. Now, a Texas restaurant called Kirby's Pig Stand claims to have been the first one to make an onion ring.
Out of pig's feet.
I hope not. But did you know this? And I think this is really cool because I'm not a big onion ring fan, but I like what the onion rings have grown into. And that is, you know, we talked about the Bloomin' Onion and others, but they also spawned the Funyun chips.
Oh,
yeah.
The Funyun chip is like a fake onion ring for those that don't like onion rings. But no matter how you like them, let's celebrate National Onion Ring Day. Yes. So you've had one. What do you think?
Are they good? I was saying, if you ever went to the top five worst smells, onions is
is a bad smell.
It's a bad smell.
Is a bad smell.
I love onion rings, and I think they're I had forgot a lot about Dairy Queen onion rings, but yeah, they're pretty
good. You know what we need with this is Chick-fil-A's dipping sauces. Oh. That's what we need, don't we? Don't we, Carl?
You know,
I could go with that, but I'm good with just a ketchup.
Me
I'm
too.
Oh, there's ketchup in there. Is there ketchup somewhere?
My mouth is full, and this show is almost over, Jay. And I'm telling you right now, if you say we're going to have dipping sauce for Chick-fil-A one more time, hear me out when I say this, bro.
Brah.
How you want to say it?
Brah.
This relationship is over.
The marriage is over. There's a divorce.
We're done.
Carl, I can't say it enough. Moose, is there anything you want to say just for our guest, Carl, being here?
No, I do appreciate you sharing the stories, and I definitely want to invite the city of Midland, the Permian Basin, to look for you to help out with this ministry. This is an amazing thing. You know, Carl, I can't thank you enough for what you're doing. And I definitely am glad to be a part of it. And we've been serving this week as well. And it's very, very uplifting to see what we can do to make a difference in this community.
We'll put in the show notes for those who are watching and listening how you can get a hold of Carl, how you can connect. And if you don't know how to do that, you can connect through the Flow Line or you can go through us at Performance Chemical. We'll get you connected to Carl. And again, thank you, Carl, so much for being here.
Thank you for the opportunity, and thank you for the onion rings.
And like we always say, don't be sad it's over. Just be glad it happened. We will see everyone next week.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for joining us. To connect with the guys or subscribe to the weekly Flowline, send us an email at media@perf-chem.com. Every Neighbor is the bridge to supporting community engagement between business and nonprofits. Every Neighbor is here to simplify the pathways to connection in our community. Connect with us at everyneighbor.com.